Just a word before we begin. I will not be announcing the liturgical hymns, and so keep your eyes scanning ahead a little bit throughout the service so that you're ready for them, because they only have a short introduction for those parts. I will be introducing the two regular hymns, including the opening hymn, which is 262, and we'll stand for the singing of A Mighty Fortress. is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, even though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. Though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling, Selah. There is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, she shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Glory be to God on high.
Strive.
The Lord be with you. Lord, your testimonies are very sure. Hallelujah.
Holiness adorns your house forever. Hallelujah.
Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we pray that you would send your Holy Spirit into our hearts. Keep us ever in your grace and truth. In every temptation, protect and comfort us. Defend us from all enemies of your word. And grant peace to your poor Christendom through our Lord Jesus Christ. The epistle lesson for this festival of the Reformation is found in the third chapter of Romans, the 19th through the 28th verse. Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance God had passed over the sins that were previously committed, to demonstrate at the present time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? No, but by the law of faith. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith, apart from the deeds of the law. Here ends the epistle lesson. We sing the chief hymn of the day, Preserve Thy Word, O Savior, 264.
Thank you.
The gospel for this day is found in the 8th chapter of John, the 31st through the 36th verse. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." They answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son but abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed." Here ends the gospel.
Amen.
Grace, mercy, and peace in God our Father and in our Lord Jesus Christ. Our text this morning is found in the 46th Psalm, verses 1 through 5. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, even though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. Though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling. There is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. Here ends our lesson. You may be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Beloved in the Lord Jesus, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. These words are God's own litany against fear. They teach us that in the midst of the worst possible situation, even if the earth were to be torn into pieces, the ground split, the mountains thrown into the sea, and those seas raging and storming, there is nothing to fear, for God is our fortress, our refuge and strength. He will rescue us. He will preserve us from death. He will stand and be our defender, for he has given us his Son, Jesus Christ. He who has conquered sin and death will certainly continue to stand and defend his people against every enemy. He will not allow his church to perish, but will feed her with heavenly food and water her with the refreshing streams of his word. Under his care and protection, the church will stand firm and will not be shaken. Christ, her champion, will help her. These verses inspired Luther to write the battle hymn of the Reformation, A Mighty Fortress. These words which we sing standing up are a testimony to the truth which our psalm declares. For this hymn could only have been written by Luther because Christ had kept his promise. He had cast out the lies of the devil and the Pope, and he had arisen himself and defended his church, even when she seemed ready to succumb to the gates of hell. But hell will not be pushed back forever. Where the truth is cast out, the devil bides his time, and he schemes and he plans, and he always works to increase his power and influence among men. And so the world once more is going to hell in a handbasket. And in truth, there's no need for a handbasket. The world is simply going to hell. You can see it in every part of life. Financial collapse and war, the abolition of freedom, the decay or elimination of even common sense, moral and virtue, abortion, homosexuality, euthanasia, the spread of totalitarianism, and all of these things on a global scale, such as never been seen before in the history of the world, except maybe in the days of Noah. And yet, even in the middle of all of that, so many people are going about their business, eating and drinking, marrying, and being given in marriage. And meanwhile, the rest of us who see what is happening in the world watch and are afraid, if not for ourselves, then for our children and grandchildren. All that we see in the world, we find reflected in the church. Here there are scandals of every sort and lies of every kind. Every evil in the world has its advocates in the church, in the visible church on earth. And so we see denomination after denomination falling into open and impenitent sin. In our parents' generation, it was the sin of rebellion against God's established order for the church and family, as women were taken into the ministry and as divorce lost its stigma. But in our generation, it is much worse. And since the sin of homosexuality is now actually celebrated and embraced in church after church, one wonders how they cannot cast off all restraint to break the chains that bind them and equally embrace fornication or polygamy. But these are all the scandals that make headlines in the major media outlets. In the church, there is a much deeper and far more pervasive corruption that doesn't make it to the evening news. It is the corruption of false doctrine, and this has plagued the church since the very beginning. While the sins such as homosexuality and adultery or fraud are still condemned as sin by Christians at large, there are deeper lies with which they poison their souls. Lies not just about the moral law of God, but about God's own nature, about the person and work of Jesus Christ, about man's ability to do good, about the end of the world and the final judgment, and yes, even about salvation itself, the way in which a man escapes the flames of hell and enjoys the eternal bliss of heaven. And yet too many Christians in the middle of this go about their business. They eat and drink. They marry and are given in marriage. They attend church and Bible class and small group studies, glad to avoid the scandalous sins that make the news, even as they are none the wiser to the poison that they ingest in the form of false doctrine, which is far worse. And once more, as we see friends and family members succumb to false doctrine, and as we watch children and grandchildren join other churches which deny the saving power of God's means of grace, such as baptism, the Lord's Supper, holy absolution, and even the effectiveness of preaching God's word, we are afraid for them. Where there is sin and error in the world, God has called his faithful people to bear witness to his word and to boldly and steadfastly proclaim the truth. God wants every Christian not only to know the pure doctrine of his word, but to speak it and defend it without fear, because this is the truth which saves men from hell. For where their witness is stifled, it is not some obscure point of theology that suffers. It is not the arguments of the monks like in Luther's day or the seminary professors today. It is salvation itself that is in peril. People believe lies, and lies kill. Satan is the father of lies because by his lies he would lead all men to destruction and hell. But instead of confidence in the God who in his Son Jesus Christ has conquered sin, death, and hell, and by his word answered every lie of Satan, instead of such boldness in the church, there is fear everywhere. And this fear silences the voice of God's people. Fear keeps pastors from speaking out against the sins and errors of his flock or of his fellow pastors. What if they will not listen and leave me, and then join some other church? What if I get thrown out and lose my pension or have to move and find a job to feed my family? Fear keeps Christians from examining their own pastors or from fleeing false teachers. What if he starts telling everyone the sins I have confessed? What if I can't find another church nearby? What if my friends and family do not agree with me and I have to separate from them and be alone? What if I have to leave behind the church graveyard where grandfather is buried? Fear keeps friends and family members from confronting one another with the dangers of false doctrine. What if they don't listen? What if they get angry and cut me off? What if I don't explain things properly and I only make the situation worse? What if I'm making a mountain out of a molehill and things are just not as bad as they seem, so I really don't have to bother? If only things were so easy for our fathers in the faith. They faced fear, but the fears they faced were something much worse. They faced the fear of death, or even of banishment, not from a church or a family, but from the entire country.
And yet, God can use fear for his own purposes. In the middle of a terrible thunderstorm, it was fear that drove Luther to vow to become a monk. Why should he have been afraid? He should have trusted God to preserve his life in the storm, and yet God used his fear for good. He changed the course of Luther's life. But the fear did not end. It was fear of the flames of hell that drove Luther to confess his sins endlessly and in minute detail, and never believing that there was mercy or forgiveness from God. Fear of hell tormented him. Fear of an angry God who knew no mercy, who would not be placated. He was afraid of Christ, whom he found to offer no salvation, because though he offered salvation, it was always in exchange for demands that he could not meet. Once more, he should not have feared. He should have known that God is merciful and that Jesus Christ does not make demands of us, but instead he himself provides the perfect life which God demands. But Luther did not know any of this, and so he was afraid. Yet once more God used his fear and ignorance for good. For it was in attempting to cure Luther's fear that his superior sent him off to study the scriptures and to become a doctor of theology. The rest, as they say, is history. For in the middle of his studies, and in particular in the epistle lesson which we heard today in Romans, God opened the eyes and understanding of Luther to the truth that a man is not justified by his works, but by faith, without the deeds of the law. Fear was not yet finished with Luther. He began to teach and preach what he learned, so that all men might know the peace of having a reconciled God, and a joy that knowing that Christ has provided all that they lack with his own perfect life and his innocent suffering and death. And yet, this preaching had consequences. And the consequences were not merely estrangement or loss of his livelihood. It was not great boldness, but merely a desire to debate the practice of indulgences that led Luther to post his 95 theses on the door of the church. And yet, those theses inevitably led to an imperial summons at Worms. And there at the Diet of Worms, Luther faced a very real possibility that he would be arrested and tortured and put to death for doing nothing other than preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. As he appeared before that august assembly, he quaked and he could hardly speak. And yet, he didn't yield. He was weak. But Christ and his word were strong. It was not Luther, but it was Christ who held the field on that day. For in the end, all Luther could say was, unless I'm convicted of error by the testimony of Scripture or even by sound reason, I stand convicted by the Scriptures to which I have appealed, and my conscience is taken captive by God's word, and therefore I cannot and will not recant anything. These were not the words of a man who boasted in himself, in his scholarship, in his greater knowledge. He confessed not that he was the better of his superiors, but that he was a slave, that he was held captive by God's word. And if the word of God held him captive, then it was not Luther, but Christ Jesus himself, whom the might of the Holy Roman Empire sought to overcome. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. We do not face death for our faith. Some Christians do, but we do not. We have, however, faced heartache for the sake of the purity of the gospel and the clear confession of Christ. We have suffered loss. We have left behind family, and we have been betrayed by teachers and friends and colleagues. Augustana Lutheran Church was forged in the midst of division and strife. And while I would not revisit the circumstances of our birth as a Lutheran congregation and tear open old wounds, it is good to remember that it was not we who held the field during those days when we confronted the enemies of the truth of Christ. Christ was his own champion, and we were but weak. It is his word that bid us to stand firm and not yield in the face of the demand that we recant the clear truth which we had received from him in that same word. He fought for us because he was our refuge and strength when we were founded 5 years ago in the days that followed, when we started with little or nothing and worshiped with a little cross and with poor organ playing and with a rally cup for a communion chalice and a plastic table for an altar. And yet we lacked nothing, but were richly blessed by Jesus Christ. Our champion was with us and in our midst. We had no reason to fear and no cause to despair. We have the river which makes glad the city of God. It is the pure word and sacraments of our Lord Jesus Christ. And though we are poor and few, not so much the queen as the handmaiden of the Lord, yet God is in our midst. Jesus Christ graces us with the presence of his very divine body and blood. And he, by his grace, has taught us such reverence for his presence as we perhaps did not know so much of in years past. He has so richly blessed us with the streams of the gospel, the forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation, in keeping us steadfast in his word in the midst of tribulation. He has opened his word to us that we might know nothing except Christ Jesus crucified for our sins. And he has brought back to us the heritage which we share with our fathers in the faith, in music, in liturgy, in prayer, so that we might be certain that we are still the Una Sancta, the Holy Christian Church of Christ on earth. One people, united with the saints of every age. God is in our midst. Therefore, we shall not be moved. Let us continue in this faith without fear, ever rejoicing in the rich treasures of the gospel, which we are pleased to inherit from Luther, which is to say, from a man who but spoke the words of our Lord Jesus Christ and made them plain to us poor sinners, that we might have life. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. Let us confess our sins in preparation to receive the Lord's body and blood. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor miserable sinner, confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended thee, and justly deserved thy temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray thee of thy boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead, and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty and most merciful God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we give thee thanks for all thy goodness and tender mercies, especially for the gift of thy dear Son, and for the revelation of thy will and grace. And we beseech thee so to implant thy word in us, that in good and honest hearts we may keep it, and bring forth fruit by patient continuance in well-doing. We beseech thee most heartily so to rule and govern thy church universal, with all of its pastors and ministers, that we may be preserved in the pure doctrine of thy saving word, whereby faith towards thee is strengthened, charity increased in us toward all mankind, and thy kingdom extended. Send laborers forth into thy harvest, and sustain those whom thou hast sent, that the word of reconciliation may be proclaimed to all people, and the gospel preached in all the world. Grant also health and prosperity to all that are in authority, especially to the President and Congress of the United States, the governor and legislature of this state, and to all of our judges and magistrates, and endue them with grace to rule after thy good pleasure, to the maintenance of righteousness, and to the hindrance and punishment of wickedness, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. May it please thee also to turn the hearts of our enemies and adversaries, that they may cease their enmity, and be inclined to walk with us in meekness and in peace. All who are in trouble, want, sickness, anguish of labor, peril of death, or any other adversity, especially those who are suffering for thy name's sake and for thy truth's sake, comfort, O God, with thy Holy Spirit, that they may receive and acknowledge their afflictions as the manifestation of thy fatherly will. And although we have deserved thy righteous wrath and manifold punishments, yet we entreat thee, O most merciful Father, to not remember the sins of our youth, nor our many transgressions, but out of thine unspeakable goodness, grace, and mercy, defend us from all harm and danger of body and soul. Preserve us from false and pernicious doctrine, from war and bloodshed, from plague and pestilence, from all calamity by fire and water, from hail and tempest, from failure of harvest and from famine, from anguish of heart and despair of thy mercy, and from an evil death. And in every time of trouble, show thyself a very present help, the Savior of all men, and especially of them that believe. Cause all needful fruits of the earth to prosper, that we may enjoy them in due season. Give success to the Christian training of the young, and to all lawful occupations on land and sea, and to all pure arts and useful knowledge, and crown them with thy blessing. Receive, O God, our bodies and souls and all our talents, together with the offerings we bring before thee, for thou hast purchased us to be thine own, that we may ever live unto thee. These and whatever other things thou wouldst have us ask of thee, O God, grant unto us for the sake of the bitter sufferings and death of Jesus Christ, thine only Son, our Lord and Savior, who lives and reigns with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is meet and right so to do.
Truly, it is good and right, just and salutary that we should always and everywhere give thanks unto thee, O Lord, holy and almighty Father, eternal God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, through whom the angels laud your majesty, dominions worship you, powers fear you, and with the heaven and all the powers of heaven, together with the blessed seraphim, we praise you in united exaltation. With them, let us add our voices and sing unto thee.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the power, and the kingdom, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do, as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me.
Amen.
Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for your sins. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for your sins. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace. As often as we eat this bread and drink this cup,
we do show the Lord's death till he comes.
We give thanks to thee, Almighty God, that thou hast refreshed us through this salutary gift, and we beseech thee that of thy mercy thou wouldst strengthen us through the same, in faith towards thee and in fervent love toward one another, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end.
Amen.
The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace.
Thank you.